It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank. Your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
And Paul Feinbaum on Football Fridays with Feinbaum. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Things are pretty good here, but my name is Paul, not Billy Napier.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know we want to we'll look ahead to the weekend that's coming. A lot of exciting stuff, but as we rewind to last weekend, we have to start in Knoxville, one of the most exciting football games that I think any of us have seen for a long time.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find that talk show host who's on in the afternoon in Alabama and elsewhere who said that Gunnar Stockton was just a serviceable quarterback. Let me know if you find that guy.
is that the same guy that's been handling Arch Manning? They may know each other.
Same guy said Arch Manning would be a completely dysfunctional quarterback in his first four games. It was an epic game. Unfortunately, if you're a Tennessee fan, it just had a very familiar ending. Somehow something always goes wrong, and it's hard to describe the pain that's went across Big Orange Country, but they really did it to themselves. It was a game they probably should have won. Had it won, let it get away, and they're still a really good team, but they may be thinking about that game in December when they're getting ready for the Citrus Bowl as opposed to the CFP.
Yeah, mentally I was in like so many other Vols fans, a tough position and what made it more difficult was it ended on that long review when everyone knew that he had gotten across the line and it was a touchdown. But I'm kind of optimistic. It's great to see the Vols score more than 20 points against Kirby Smart, but to lose that way, it really hurt. But I know a lot of people are saying, hey, this Tennessee team, they still look like a playoff team.
They do, but they just have to simply survive now. They're one down. They still have trips to Alabama. They have a lot of really difficult home games, such as Oklahoma. They go to Florida, which I don't know what that means. It's not done. I mean, that was never a game you had automatic in the win column. It was just a chance to win. But they do look good, and I don't they always tell you in comedy, don't punch down. Well, too bad. Tennessee got the better end of the Nico deal, didn't they?
They sure did. Yeah. And by the way, the first words out of Kirby Smart's mouth after the game on national TV was Tennessee deserved to win that game. So, I think it's good news. The loss stings, but it's probably good news going forward for Tennessee.
It's positive, yeah. Kirby Smart's kind of channeled Bear Bryant and Nick Saban together because he really does. He's that one coach that always kind of speaks for everyone, and he's very smart to do that.
You know, Texas A&M fans have to be so pleased with what Mike Elko's been able to do in his short time out there at College Station after seeing what the big money man Jimbo Fisher was unable to do for so many years. And that win over Notre Dame on Saturday, last-minute touchdown throw from Marcel Reed, who has planted himself in the conversation these first couple games. But how about that, a 41-40 win over a tough Irish team?
And don't forget, a couple years ago, A&M officials were on their way back from Lexington where they had hired Mark Stoops to be the next coach. Word got out. There was a meltdown in the 3.5 hours it took the plane to get back to College Station. And they told Stoops, thanks, but no thanks. And here they are. Mike Elko was one of the better hires of last year, of the year before, I should say. And they're really in a good spot. I mean, that's possibly the toughest game on their schedule, and they've won it now.
Yeah, A&M looks like they're back, and now it looks like Ryan Williams is back, and Alabama's back. Ryan Williams, another classic game, 5 catches, 165 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's the kind of production that Alabama fans are expecting from Ryan Williams week in, week out.
Yeah, no, that was a big deal because I'm not going to read too much into those two games, but what Alabama did was it showed they're capable of being a really great team, and I'd rather see that than just lollygagging around. They can't do anything about the first game, but they do have to make it up somewhere. And a week from today, we'll be talking about the game that they need to make it up, and that's at Georgia, because Georgia is very vulnerable, as you guys saw last Saturday in Knoxville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very good, and they're very vulnerable. And I think that speaks to a lot of college football, Paul, even the best teams.
Yeah, the thing about Georgia, though, is the defense. It's non-existent, and that does not spell – that spells a problem with Alabama. Alabama's defense isn't great either, by the way, when it comes to elite teams. But I feel better about that game, and you have to feel better if you're an Alabama fan right now, because 2 weeks ago, I mean, it was over. We all said it, and I don't know what Kalen DeBoer did. I have no earthly idea. But he lit a fuse, and, you know, this bye week probably doesn't come at a good time. I'd rather see some momentum, but all eyes will be on Athens next Saturday.
Yeah, what a game, and the setup the whole week on your show next week. I'm almost looking more forward to that than the game, just all the trash talk that's going to be going on. But we've got some good ones this weekend, too, and, of course, many storylines in this Auburn at Oklahoma game. Both teams ranked, both with transfer quarterbacks that are doing well. Of course, one of those quarterbacks played on the other team just last year, Jackson Arnold. It's his return to Norman, but this is a stacked Sooner squad what they have over there.
It's also worth remembering, remember when Brian Harsin was hired at Auburn, they offered the job to Brent Venables. He said, not a chance. Mm. And he's on the verge of maybe his best start if he can get this win in on Saturday afternoon. And we'll be out there for our show on Friday and Saturday. And I can't wait, because there are multiple storylines. I'm happy to see Oklahoma do well, because to me, Oklahoma is such a rich tradition, and they were so bad last year, even though they beat Auburn.
They did beat Auburn. And would you say, because Hugh Freeze was on the hot seat coming into the season, that win over Baylor did him a lot of good, and then taking care of business these last couple of weeks. You mentioned Venable's bad season last year. Would you classify this game as a must-win for either coach this weekend, or is there still plenty of time for both?
I think it might be more important for Venables, because it's at home and there's so much optimism. Freeze, I think, really needed to win the Baylor game. Yeah. Nobody's expecting a perfect season from Hugh Freeze. This would be a tremendous win, but there's so many other games. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have to deal with Georgia in 3 weeks, obviously Alabama at home, countless other let me sneak in a game that's going to concern everybody for Alabama and Auburn. And that's Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Okay, so that's my next question. So what is South Carolina? Where are they mentally and physically? They've got to hit the road to take on unbeaten Missouri after getting completely bullied at home by Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I interviewed the Vanderbilt linebacker the other day who knocked Lenora Sellers out of the game, and he really wasn't very apologetic about the way they played. I mean, he said our job was to shut that crowd up, and they did. It was truly remarkable. And Vanderbilt last year, got off to that hot start, then they blew the Georgia State game, which they had this week. They were yin and yang. Mm-hmm. They kind of ran out of gas at the end of the season. But the bad news for Alabama, again, is they played them pretty early on in 2 weeks. So that's problematic. They're much easier to beat at the end when their depth has been worn down, not in the middle.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Paul Feinbaum for Football Fridays, presented by Bryant Bank. And there's two ideas out there this week regarding football, and I'm in love with both. First, on the NFL side, there's people saying Jameis Winston should just be the emergency quarterback for every team. Like, he should just be a fully floating free agent during the year.
Fly him around.
Because people love seeing Winston come in and play. But on the college side of things, let's just let Diego Pavia quarterback Vanderbilt until he can't quarterback anymore. I mean, they're going to court for a seventh season. And he'll take as many as he can get.
Yeah, I swear I saw him. I was in line the other day for Medicare, and I think I saw him right behind me. that's who he is. He's unapologetic. He's the one that told me a few weeks ago when I laughed at him. He said, we're going undefeated. I made reference. I said, are you kidding? He said, I don't see anybody cracking jokes around here, buddy. I'm like, okay. That's fair. That's fair. He is a gunslinger out there.
Mm-hmm. He's a tough guy.
So with South Carolina, and they beat Virginia Tech, I know a lot of people said that was a good win. not looking so good now. Brent Pry is gone.
He can take leaves off your roof full time now, Paul.
whatever the
odd jobs were that you had him lined up for.
Yeah, no, I see. He's actually as soon as we get off the phone, I'm going to let him in because we also need some irrigation work done.
So this is a big week for South Carolina at Missouri, and Lenora Sellers. They're saying he's going to try to play. It looks like. Where do the Gamecocks go from here? Because Shane Beamer, he doesn't exactly have the safest seat in all the land either.
No, the one thing he does have going for him, though, is that with every loss, he can leak the story that he's going back to Virginia Tech to take his dad's place.
Oh, that's true.
This would be a brutal loss because South Carolina was one of those teams that the pundits said was going to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But you would hear somebody say that, and then you go, well, yeah, but their Vegas number is like seven and a half. How are they going to do that? I don't believe in this team, and I think Missouri is going to win, and their season, South Carolina season, will be hanging in the balance.
It seemed like almost uniformly all of the voices that we follow with college football preseason had Florida in mind for a lot of good news this year. They've got a lot of people returning. Their offensive line, their defense is good. They have a quarterback that it looked like, you know, after some injuries, this was the year he was going to hit his stride in Lagway, and things have not turned out that way at all. Five picks down at the Bayou.
Only five, so let's not get carried away. he was terrible. I looked at the schedule and made a comment at some point saying, you know, there's I don't see how they get through that stretch, which is the one they're in now. And I got a lot of blowback. Now, I didn't count on them losing the game before this four-game stretch begins.
Right.
So what if I told you before the season that of these four games, which include at LSU, at Miami, at Texas A&M, and Texas at home, that Texas is the easiest game of the group?
Is that amazing?
Right now, that might be their only shot because I don't think they can win the other two.
Man, and if they end this season with not just losses to potentially Florida State, potentially Miami this weekend, but that South Florida loss, I just don't see how the Gators fans feel any kind of hope going into another season with Billy Napier.
You know what they ought to do? They ought to bring Dan Mullen back and see if he'll use some of the buyout money for NIL.
And by the way, at the time I looked at the line, it was only like 7.5. Florida on the road, and they're not – Miami's not a big favorite. I'm kind of miffed by that.
Yeah, it wasn't much different last week in Baton Rouge. It's just that people look at Florida and know the potential, know how many really good. I mean, their only problem is the head coach, I think. I mean, he just gets in the way every week.
He seems to. It's a good thing they don't have University of West Florida on the schedule also this year, the Florida Gators. They could really, really lose to all the teams in the state. Paul, good week. As always, we really enjoy your insight and also enjoy hearing folks yell at each other and the great interviews you have every weekday afternoon here on FM Talk 106.5. Again, we appreciate it and look forward to talking with you next week.
Thanks, guys. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Bye-bye.
You got it. Paul Feinbaum with Football Fridays with Feinbaum, brought to you by Bryant Bank.
Yes, thank you to Bryant Bank for being the presenting sponsor and letting us talk to Paul Feinbaum every week.
I think Auburn. He enjoys it.
Oh, I know he enjoys it,
No labor for Paul to chat with us.
That big Auburn at Oklahoma game tomorrow. Again, 2:30 kickoff. You can hear the Auburn pregame beginning at 11:30 right here on FM Talk 106.5 and the Paul Feinbaum Show on every weekday afternoon 2 to 6 right here on FM Talk 106.5. More Mobile mornings on the way.